Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of the Adrift on the Sea That Is the Internet with No Name podcast. In honor of the events at today's FIFA World Cup in South Africa, we are going to bring you the top five shocking game endings in sports history. She hitched a ride up from Frisco. Thank you for the theme music. That, of course, is the Orchid Highway. As always, you can check out their music at orchidhighway.com. My name is Jason Carello, and I am your host. I am here with my good friend, Chris Withers.
Hi, Jason. It was a shocking day.
Open mouth time watching the television.
My mouth has not fully closed yet.
Yes, and I'd like to talk to you about your breath after the podcast is over, if you don't mind. We are going to talk about the five most shocking sporting moments as decided upon by you and me
over a beer. Just our top five.
Our take on the top five.
Shockers.
And here we go.
Here we go.
Number five. This very year, Chris, the NHL playoffs in the first round, heavily favored Chicago Blackhawks playing against a plucky group from Nashville. Get that, plucky?
Plucky.
Plucky group from Nashville, the Nashville Predators, are just seconds away from going up 3-2 over the Chicago Blackhawks, who would eventually become the Stanley Cup champions with less than 5 minutes to play. They were also up 4-3 in the game, and Marian Hossa takes a 5-minute boarding penalty. Everyone in the United Center was dead silent.
It was a tomb in there.
Everyone thought the series is over, the great promise of this huge salary, they're not going to win. Patrick Kane scores a shorthanded goal with 13.6 seconds left to tie the game. The Predators don't score a power play goal. Hossa comes back on the ice, scores the winner in OT, and of course we know the rest. The Hawks go on to beat the Canucks and dismantle the Sharks and then take out the Flyers. They get the cup. Absolutely mind-boggling, that first series. It was an incredible end to that series.
It was fantastic. Number four. This one was one that really got me excited about basketball. Eastern Conference semifinal.
Knicks and Pacers.
One of the most heated rivalries in all of sports. On a one-on-one level was Reggie Miller and Spike Lee talking trash to each other on the sideline every single game. Spike Lee got death threats from Indiana fans when he went there. It was unbelievable. So, 1995, the Knicks are up 6 with 18 and a half seconds to play on the clock.
Which means there were still 2 hours left on the broadcast.
Exactly, right. Yeah. Indiana's front office staff have already left. They're already in a back room having a whiskey.
Now, is this game one?
This is game one.
Game one of the series.
Yeah. 18 and a half seconds left. Indiana's got the ball. Miller comes down, hits a three-pointer. Classic Miller, nothing but net. Right. Reggie Miller comes up and guards the inbounder, steals the inbound pass. Not only does he steal the inbound pass, he has the presence of mind to take a couple of dribbles back behind a three-point arc and hit another three-pointer.
Nice.
6 points now in maybe 10 seconds.
Right. So it's a tie game now. We're thinking overtime.
But not quite yet. Indiana gets the ball back, gets fouled, and who's got possession of the ball? None other than Reggie Miller.
Gotta be Reggie Miller.
He hits the free throws to win the game. Indiana completes the six-point comeback in 18 seconds. And wins game one, goes on to win the series.
Nice. That's a really nice story. Spike Lee, probably the shortest man ever.
Ever.
That's the only way that he was going to be involved in any kind of sporting controversy of any kind.
Oh, there's some classic moments from that series if you ever get a chance to watch it. Miller hitting a shot and then turning to Spike Lee, grabbing his crotch area and then making a choking motion with the other hand. Classic.
And very classy. Number three on our list. So close, yet so far away. So close, yet so just last year. In the Grey Cup game, the Saskatchewan Roughriders are up by 2 points against the Montreal Alouettes. The Montreal Alouettes have a field goal with no time left on the clock to win the game. They missed the field goal.
Shanked it.
Shanked it to the side. I golf better than this guy kicked the ball. It missed by a long shot. Saskatchewan Roughriders start jumping around. They think they've won. Then all of a sudden we realize there are flags all over the field.
Yeah, not just one guy saw something.
Every referee official threw a flag. In North America threw a flag. There were flags on Main Street.
Yeah.
Too many men on the field. The biggest coaching mistake since Don Cherry throwing too many Bruins on the ice so Guy Lafleur could score in the playoffs. Montreal gets a second crack at the field goal. Damon Duval steps up. He says, you know, I had my practice one already. He boots it right through the middle of the uprights.
Of course he was going to.
Calvillo finally gets his due. He gets a great cup. And Montreal wins 28-27.
Yeah.
In one of the most talked about Grey Cup finals in recent memory.
And you know what's funny is the CFL has adopted the NFL tradition of the first game of the season is the rematch of the Grey Cup from last year.
Which just happened on Canada Day.
And sure enough, goes to overtime.
Montreal's in front.
Saskatchewan has a too many men on the field penalty, and it looked like it was over.
But they came back.
Yeah, Saskatchewan came back and won it this time.
But just absolutely a classic Grey Cup game last year.
Yeah. Number two. Stupid could I be? The 1986 World Series.
Of course.
This is the classic choke job. The curse of the Bambino. Boston Red Sox. It had been something like 80 years since they'd won a World Series championship. They were one out away. They were one strike away.
It was a full count, if I remember.
It was. They'd already given up a two-run lead in the 10th inning. 10th inning, they take the lead. They give it right back through some atrocious play. Run around second base with two out and a slow, slow, slow dribbler to first baseman Bill Buckner, who boots the ball, goes right between his legs and into right field. There's prostitutes on Hastings Street that don't let that much go through their legs.
Oh, that's so inappropriate. And I can't believe you said that.
The Mets score the winning run. They win game six. They go on to win game seven. And Boston needs to wait another 20 years before they win a championship.
I mean, that's on every highlight reel of every major sports blunder. You got to YouTube it, and it's right there.
Yeah. Soon to join that list. Over to you.
Number one most shocking moment in sports memory. Ghana, Uruguay, at this year's World Cup, the game is tied 1-1. Ghana is pressing against Uruguay to go into the semifinals. They have a free kick in the 121st minute, Chris. 121st minute. Players are nearly dropping on the field. They're so tired. There's a scramble in the box. A Ghanaian player has a great shot. An Uruguayan player blocks it. Then another guy heads the ball towards the net. Luis Suarez reaches out. He's not the goaltender. He reaches up and swats the ball away with his left hand. He prevents a sure goal.
And it was a sure goal.
It was a sure goal.
Oh, this might have gone in. This was in about 0.25 seconds.
He was standing on the goal line. The ball was on the goal line, and he swatted it away with his hand. Of course, it's not okay in soccer. It's an immediate red card to Suarez. So he's out. Asamoah Gyan has a penalty kick with no time left on the clock. The referee has already said injury time is over. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
He puts the penalty kick off the crossbar, sending the game to a penalty kick shootout, which Uruguay wins.
Luis Suarez is the only player in history, in all of the soccer that's ever been played, to become a national hero for getting a red card.
This is even more shocking than Brazil losing to the Netherlands earlier in the day.
Oh, yeah.
This ending of this game was the ends of the hopes and dreams of an entire continent.
They were from the start of the World Cup, they were the number one African team.
They were the class of the African teams by far. Although Ivory Coast had a good team for a while. They had a bad tournament.
Ivory Coast was up there. So was Cameroon, but the Ghanaians were.
And they dominated the overtime of this game.
Yeah,
they really took it to the Uruguayans. They deserved to win this game.
Yeah, from about when Uruguay equalized the game, which was around the 55th minute, I think. It was all Ghana.
This game, it honestly saddened me to watch the ending of this game. This poor man, Asamoah Gyan, he will be inconsolable for the remainder of his career. He's going to be remembered for this, mm-hmm. and this alone. Yeah. And it was just absolutely heartbreaking.
Now, it sounds like a joke, but it's not. I hope he lives.
Well, to be fair, the player who was killed in Colombia, that's a very different situation.
There were drug ties there.
The mafia was involved. The drug cartels were involved. There's actually a really good documentary about it called The Two Escobars.
Oh, really?
I recommend you see it if you can. It's all about the connections between the Colombian drug lords and the Colombian soccer. This is not the case.
It's not. But you know what? The point stands that it's in some of these countries, it is such a big deal that the possibility exists, and it's not.
To be fair, Chris, this is not just an in those countries thing. When Nathan Lafayette hit the post in Game 7 against the New York Rangers, and the Rangers ended up winning the cup over the Vancouver Canucks, this town rioted. Vancouverites rioted.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, we can't just sit back and say in those countries.
Wow.
In those countries. That's very superior to say. I don't think that's fair.
Well, I like to think there's a bit of a difference in that nobody threatened to put a gun to his head.
Nathan Lafayette?
Yeah.
No, we've just probably sentenced him to live in a small town selling used cars somewhere.
Well, he was going to do that anyway. He wasn't a big-name player.
That's true enough. So, there you go. Those were our five most shocking moments in sports memory. We would really appreciate your input. If you think we've missed something, please let us know. You can either tweet me on Twitter. I'm still at Trim the Mullet.
And I'm still at Chris_Withers. Or feel free to leave a comment.
By the way, everybody, we have chosen the new name for the Adrift on the Sea that is the Internet with No Name podcast. We will be unveiling that during training camp for the Vancouver Canucks later on in the summer.
Now, once again, Jason, thanks for having me. It's been fun, and we'll be back with you fine folks a little bit later on once all the free agents have settled down and we've had a chance to digest them all. And we'll get back to you with a team-by-team analysis of free agency.
And this is Jason Carello for Chris Withers. I say adieu. I woke up in the rain on some old couch in the lane. I heard the drunken voices dragging on some old refrain. But I'm climbing. I'm climbing back on the train. I can explain if you'll just let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, I'll see you back here again. Familiar terrain, I'm firing melon balls from K.
there's prostitutes on Hastings Street that don't let that much go through their legs.
Oh, that's so inappropriate. I can't believe you said that.